At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Jeff James, founder and CEO of Pickle Jar, a platform that connects musicians and artists to their fans for tipping, merchandise purchases, and more. Jeff joins the show today to discuss the challenges he's solving within live music performances and how the platform has evolved over the past year to allow for long-term strengthened relationships between artists and their fans. Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Natalie.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. Pickle Jar is such an interesting concept, and I'm excited to hear, you know, how the business is going. So before we get into that, why don't you share with us a little bit about your background? Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I absolutely have. Started with a lemonade stand that my mother affectionately helped me make. At 5 years old or 6 years old, was hooked on it ever since. Just love being, forward thinking, love developing new ideas and new concepts. It's been a skill that I've gotten to hone over the many years, and I have had some amazing mentors through the process, and still am learning. You know, you never, as an entrepreneur, you never know it all. It's really about the people you have around you that help you continue down that entrepreneurial journey.
Well, where was your career when you had this idea for Pickle Jar? Where did that idea come from originally?
You know, it's interesting. I was working on a project for a company out of the UK, and we were developing a methodology for moving cryptocurrency into fiat or Bitcoin into debit cards. And my partner and I, Christian Borowski, he and I were finishing up that evening with some meetings and headed on down to Broadway there in Nashville to go to a little bar called The Second Fiddle. And, sitting up there at the bar and great band playing up on stage. And this girl comes through the crowd with a Yeti loadout bucket, not just your, $5 bucket from Home Depot. But I was like, that's a really expensive bucket. These guys must be doing great. And she came right up and she said, hey, $20 for a song request for the band. And we did the international sign for We Have No Cash, where you pat all your pockets. And she whipped out her cell phone and said, that's okay. We take Square. And $60 later, Christian and I kind of looked at each other. We had so many questions, where did the money go? There's four people on stage. How do they split the money? Who pays the taxes on it? Are they going to remember us? Are we going to remember them? Do they remember the songs we requested? And Christian and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, there has got to be a better way. And so we grabbed a stack of napkins right there at the bar and started feverishly writing down ideas. We probably looked like a couple of washed up singer songwriters and affectionately called it Project Pickle Jar by the end of the night. And the next morning jumped in a cab with each other. And I looked at him and I said, this will never work. And it won't work because, there's Venmo and Snapcash and all these other ways. But the idea just kind of stuck with us and stuck around. And, even though we were working on other projects, decided that, as we started talking to other artists, that this really was an issue, the way that artists make money. And really one of the interesting parts that we learned was the industry is such an ecosystem of skepticism and everybody's got their fingers in the pockets of these, musicians. And so, after talking to probably well over 100 musicians, we started developing it, and we actually, ironically, struck our first line of code about 2 months right before the pandemic hit. And it was all just internal funding at that point, and decided we were just going to keep going and make it through. But as the pandemic lingered on, began to realize not just is the problem about tipping or on stage engagement, It really was about something greater than that. And it's all the different ways that artists really are being disenfranchised. And so we really set out on a mission to help artists make more money.
You know, you mentioned, like, I think anyone who has seen like live music has had these thoughts that you had, and you know, the challenges that you mentioned of creating, you know, what Pickle Jar would end up being. What were some of those biggest challenges early on? Those questions you initially had. How does Pickle Jar work now, and how does it answer some of those questions you had at that bar?
Yeah, I think as an entrepreneur, you know, we're often getting our own way. We think, you know, there's just one way to do it. And I'm certainly guilty of that. I joked, you know, we're never going to do ticketing. We're never going to do crowdfunding. And we've kind of matured into all of those different areas from a technology now. Really, I think the biggest challenges we had were listening with an open heart to the artist. And I say that was a challenge because we kind of have a preconceived notion from a fan perspective of how we thought it should work, right? As a fan, I want to do this or I want to do that. And the artist's feedback was, well, it doesn't work that way for us. But if you did this, man, that would be great. And so really those first 500 artists that got on the platform were just immeasurable to, you know, helping us really listen to the product. And then I think the second challenge is just focus, because you can imagine all this great feedback that kind of in some way gets, you know, encapsulated into a product roadmap or a feature function roadmap. You have to be focused on, you know, well, what's going to generate money? Because ultimately, as we did start to go to outside money and start raising capital, it really was, well, what business are you in? And so that focus helped us better explain to investors what business we really were in as we got started with this project. So I think, you know, having an open heart and being able to also focus were two of our biggest challenges very, very early on.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like this idea that, you know, you were just an audience member. So your original way of thinking was that, but more importantly would be what these artists need, what they want from a platform. But that's so interesting. So as you mentioned, the first 500 artists on the platform were really important to building out, I guess, the UI and what exactly Pickle Jar does. So tell me a little bit about, you know, how you work with artists now and then, and how it's evolved over, you know, this past year of Pickle Jar.
Yeah. So when we got started, it was hard to have conversations with artists in many ways. You know, once we got past friends and family and connective tissue, you know, people that now you're going into a bar and walking up to them and going, hey, sorry, I know you're at work, but would you listen to me for 5 minutes? And it was really difficult to earn that trust, you know, with that artist, because every one of the initial artists started asking us, well, what's the catch, right? Because we have three tenets at Pickle Jar. One is the artist has to keep 100% of the money. The second is the artist owns their fans. They keep 100% of the fans. And then the third is they could use their talent and give it as a gift to nonprofits through a very unique tip share functionality that we have inside the app. And those three tenets, when we would tell the artists that, and we were just sure that they would go, oh my gosh, let's go. They went, well, wait a minute, what's the catch? And that kind of ladders back to that ecosystem of skepticism I talked about, because everybody in the industry has got their fingers in their pockets. And so we had to shift the way we talk to artists, knowing that that skepticism was an impediment to getting them to become, you know, Pickle Jar fans. And we started to really learn what was their need and what we needed to say to them in order to get them to engage with us. And now they come to us hundreds a day, you know, as they join the platform. So it's been an exciting time. And I'll give full testament to this Pickle Jar team. You know, we have 29 souls that work on this every day who are absolutely invested in the success of these artists that are on Pickle Jar. And that is an important piece, because they continually share, you know, our motive to help them make more money. And that's become a great part of our culture and of our brand.
Yeah. Similarly, I wonder if you could talk me through how the technology has evolved, because I know I'm sure early days the platform looked different from what it looks like now. So what were some things that you implemented over the past, 14 months for the technology?
Yeah, so when we got started, it literally just had those three things I talked about. It was a tipping app. Some unique functionality there was we built a mechanism called Notes inside. It's our intellectual property that allows for the artist to create these notes that the fan can see and then do song requests or shout outs, and they can customize those, whatever they want to say. So if you want $500 for Freebird, that's what you can put in on just your notes, and it shows up on your profile. So that technology, that's how we launched. And then really in listening to the artists, we realized there were other areas that the artists were feeling points of pain. And one of those was merchandise, right? So we built our own e-commerce platform so that the artists could basically put up their hats and shirts, and at no charge, be able to sell those, live from the stage. A lot of them carry around merch carts and things like that. So allowing us to do direct ship through partners who do direct ship for those types of promotional products. And then we added, we were told, hey, ticketing is a problem for us. We're not always at an event where there is a ticketing partner, and we're using Eventbrite, but we're getting charged, X percent to sell a $10 ticket. Could you help us? And we said, yeah, we'll build a ticketing platform. So we did that and integrated that into the app. And then we realized that they don't have distribution. So we built our own TV channel so that we could live stream these events at different venues that we're going to. And we've live streamed, now well over 150 events, including the Hall of Fame inductee ceremony for the Country Radio Hall of Fame and for the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame. So in CMA of Texas, as well as musical events around the country now. And then last but not least, which is our most recent launch, was a platform called Crowdfunder. And 95% of the artist's time is spent off stage, but they need money for, a new album that they want to cut in studio, or they need to be able to go out and raise money for their tour, or hey, I need a new amplifier. And so basically building a Kickstarter type crowdfunding platform where the artist, all they have to do is earn 25% of their goal to unlock that money. And then they receive it in real time, within 24 to 40 hours every time a donation is made. So, we built all of that functionality. And then on top of that, built a unique QR code methodology called Tip Topper for the venues. So now we're on over 300 venues where you can scan the QR code and tip an artist while they're on stage, because we realized, hey, the fans don't know about the app. And so we built the technology to where you don't even need the app to tip or engage with the artist. And then last but not least, we built a platform for nonprofits. So now those nonprofits I talked about earlier have their own portal, and can share the donor information as artists and nonprofits come together. So we built a pretty robust technology stack in 14 months, and it's all been just a testament to, the artist feedback and our partners' feedback through that process.
I think the overall theme is really just the business connection between artist and fans, right? Like everything that you've added onto the platform has been in that same vein of connecting fans to artists in it from a, like, I mean, financial perspective mostly, but like, it's bigger picture too. So I think that's really interesting. And I don't know, like, I know it sounded like a lot, but I do think it has that cohesive, connection theme, right?
It absolutely does. And the beauty of what we've done at Pickle Jar is that you said it correctly, right? It's an all-in-one live entertainment platform. And the beauty of it is, I'll tell you one of the funny, kind of stories was when we first got started, we were probably about 5 months in, and we were at a venue, McIntyre's here in Houston, doing an event with them, and they're just great partners. And a girl walked up to us and was showing us the app, and she goes, I had no idea this was happening at McIntyre's tonight. And I opened the app, and it geo targets, what's going on that night. And one of her favorite artists was playing, and it popped up. And she was like, I would have never known he was playing here tonight if I didn't have Pickle Jar. And so kind of one of the unintended consequences of the app was now the fans were using it and are using it as a way to plan their Friday night out. And so now it becomes really a center, a nexus, if you will, for the artists and the venues and the fans to really intersect.
Yeah. Well, in terms of technology and where you see the app going, what other avenues do you see pursuing for developing, further developing Pickle Jar in the future, whether it's tomorrow or like 10 years from now, you know?
Yeah. So we've got a lot of things in the hopper that we're working on right now. We've got a new fractional ownership NFT model that we're putting together that we built the technology for in Q1 of this year. And we're working with some partners on that launch in Q4 of this year, which is pretty exciting. And we're also building out our own point of sale system. One of the challenges that we have seen come up with venues is the point of sale system that they have doesn't directly tie to, the ticketing or an event management type of platform, which is if you think you're a live music venue, that's a lot of what you're managing. And so they're doing these in disparate systems. And so we're bringing the point of sale in-house, and that will allow us to do a lot more on the merchandising side for both venues and the artist as part of that. I mean, you've been at an event where you're like, I would buy the t-shirt, but I don't want to carry it around all night, you know? So buying the ability to use Pickle Jar, buy the t-shirt and have it shipped to your house next day air, is part of taking advantage of that in the moment reaction that we as fans, we have when we're out there enjoying ourselves. And then the other part is just booking. We have a part of the platform that allows for a venue to book an artist, but we look to flesh that out even greater with some smart contract functionality that we built as part of internal to Pickle Jar in terms of tip splits and tip sharing. And that will be then further developed for booking and tour management. So that's kind of our roadmap now. And really, it's to put our arms around everything that that the artist, the venues need to support this live music entertainment that we all love.
Absolutely. I completely agree with the merchandise side of things, because, yeah, there's nothing like waiting in line at a merch table, especially if it's like a big concert. You're waiting in that line for the whole first, maybe even second opening act sometimes, because those lines get insane. So that's a cool integration for sure.
We just did an event in Austin with two artists. They're just phenomenal. And Steve Carlson was one of those artists. And, in that, when we sold the ticket, you could buy one of his candles, one of the event posters. You could also pre-buy your food for your table and champagne for your table or drinks. And what that did was that actually made the experience much more cohesive and enjoyable for the fan, right? Because they bought that ticket, they walked in, and they knew automatically, right, that there was going to be their merch at their seat, already boxed up. And it just made it a really great experience for the fan. And that's really what Pickle Jar is all about. It's about creating experiences and, more importantly, getting the fan to support that artist through those experiences so that they can really show how much they love and appreciate the music that's being provided.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, because obviously fans want that. They just haven't had the access and the ease of access, I guess, more to do that. So it's kind of like a win-win for everyone. But I do want to go back to talking a little bit about how the pandemic affected y'all. You know, idea came to you, I think, in 2019, but, Pickle Jar didn't launch until last year. So what would you say the biggest effect of the pandemic was? Maybe there's a positive and a negative effect that happened.
Yeah, I think it was, it was distracting. The biggest challenge for us was the distraction, right? So at the time, we were funding everything internally. We have another business that we had that was actually helping support that. My wife and I put in the initial money to support it. And when the pandemic hit, right, all of those different things got impacted negatively. That made it even more of a challenge. It made us really question our resolve, Natalie. I think, it really said, how bad do you want to solve this problem for artists? And really, how important of a problem is this to you personally? I won't forget ever the meeting that Christian Borowski and I had, the president of the company, my partner in this deal, in my office, where we were at a point where we had to write a pretty big check or the next big check. And it was like, maybe we just wait until this pandemic thing is over and the financial ship gets righted. But we decided, and I think vehemently so, that if we didn't solve this problem, who was going to solve it? And more importantly, we realized that coming out of the pandemic, the negative impact that the pandemic was already having on artists, if we weren't there waiting for those artists to assist them coming out of it, if we stopped now, we wouldn't be ready for it whenever it ended. And so I think it really, it was a distraction, but it, at the same time, it really did measure our resolve about how much we really cared about this problem. And quite frankly, when several people that were very close to the project heard that we were continuing, as a matter of fact, we were like, hey, can you test this? And they were like, wow, you did this already? And we're like, yeah. And they, you know, it also just created an echo effect. And I think that echo effect of support for Pickle Jar is what helped us raise our first outside money because people saw that we weren't stopping. And, you know, we keep telling that to every partner we have and every investor we have. We're not stopping. We started this. We're going to finish it. The artists deserve it. So, and that's been kind of our mantra from day one.
Well, do you think that, I mean, I might be projecting, but do you think the pandemic re-emphasized fandom and, you know, the user experience of live music entertainment? Like, do you feel like since we went so long without that in-person experience that now there's like a reinvigorated fandom going to music?
I don't think you're projecting. I think that's exactly how I felt. I couldn't wait to go to my first live event. I was like, yay, you know, the May and our kickoff event that you kind of alluded to was back in May of last year here in Houston at a bar called Mo's Place. And Mo and his son, Mo Jr., have just been such great partners with us. They literally let us have their bar as a petri dish as we, you know, have played and with live streaming and QR codes. But you know, we did that event with Wade Bowe and Randy Rogers, such great artists that believed in us and put their name on it to come out and do that event that night. It was sold out. The place was packed. And I think to your question, we realized right then and there in that moment, even though the city at that moment in time was still fluctuating back and forth, closed 50%, 70%, you know, what are we going to do? But I will tell you, every one of those fans that came out that night echoed one sentiment, and it was there to support the artist. I mean, they remember the artists get their energy from the fans, but the fans get their energy from the artist. And I think to your point, they just want to be in the same room. It's not the same on a Zoom. It's not the same on a live stream. That room, that energy was so incredible that night. It blew me away. And we had a storm during the performance, knocked out the power and everybody cheered. And then the power came back right back on in like 5 seconds. And it was like, that was even more electricity. So I think that in every live event I've gone to just echoes that. And I don't think that's stopping. I think that's something that the fans really understand, that how bad the artists were impacted by the pandemic.
I think it's also worth noting too that there's all different types. Like there's full-on concerts in Toyota Center that are, you know, going to be this like big, huge experience. But I think specifically these smaller bar or, you know, smaller venue experiences, that's I feel like making a big difference now. I think that people are more gravitating toward that. That's how you want to spend your time, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where Pickle Jar fits in the narrative, right? Because what artists are able to do now is from the mic, be able to engage that fan. You know, hey, you want to request a song? You want a shout out? The only way I'm doing it is if you pay me, you know, and it creates this engagement with the fans in that intimate setting. And more importantly, it allows the fan to take that moment home with them. They have now a record of who they tipped, who they saw that night. And like I said, we've all been at bars where we go, who was that again that played on Friday night? Well, now I can look in the app and go, oh yeah, I gave them $5. And oh, they've got a new project they're working on. I loved them. And there's just, now there's a string attached, right, between the artist and the fan that can carry on beyond that one Friday night event. And I think that's where Pickle Jar coming out of the pandemic can help an artist really make that strong connection with the fan, but more importantly, for the fan to have a way to support that artist beyond that moment.
Yeah, I love that idea of this ever growing string between fan and artist. That's great. So one thing I want to ask you about, you know, you're a Houstonian, company's based here in Houston, founded here in Houston, but very quickly grew out of Houston, right? So tell me a little bit about that experience of growing geographically so quickly in that first year.
So a large part of that is given to the testament of, you know, some of our advisors. Alex Valentine has been a great advisor to our board, and Johnny Chang, who's also a native Houstonian here. As we started planning kind of the growth of the company, realized three things. One was, you know, Houston was the right place to launch this because it gave us we had the relationships here locally. To really kind of get with the venues and learn what they needed, as well as artists that we knew personally that were local. But what we knew is we needed to really own a town that was a music city, and Nashville was that first town for us, Nashville and Austin. And so we literally sat down and said, where are the music cities where people play every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, no matter what? And let's look for those music towns. Nashville, Key West, Fort Worth, you know, those were our core markets. And so we began to deploy capital into those markets to really get with the fans and light up these music venues, because we knew that that would be an attraction for the artists. You know, hey, I'm playing in a venue that's a pickle jar venue. I might as well get on the app and see what this thing's all about. And so we really chose to get into those markets and try to own those markets as quickly as we possibly could.
So we talked a little bit about some future-facing tech enhancements you have on the horizon, but what else is next for you on the company roadmap that you're developing? I know you mentioned having investors. Are you looking for more investors? Are you hiring, et cetera?
Yeah, so we're just both, actually. We're just actually about to go into our Series A round. And we have some incredible investors. I'll just take a moment to dote on them, Natalie, if I may.
Sure.
You know, when we started this, the first money we went after, we explained it to some very close friends of ours, and they all love live music and they put money in. And that's usually your friends and family around is pretty easy. But when we got beyond that, we were so fortunate to have run into a couple of people that not just got what we were doing, but realize the negative impact of the pandemic on venues and also artists that they knew. And we're talking about big artists now. And so as we started the conversation with them, they said, hey, listen, we're going to give you this money. You got to go save this industry. And what they meant by that was the industry of the artists, you know, the smaller artists, as well as the up and coming and the risers. And so they really got in the trenches with us, and they have just been immeasurably helpful in us growing this brand, both from guidance at a leadership level, as well as just, you know, helping us explain to the new capital markets guys that we're raising money from what the vision and the future of Pickle Jar really can be. And I believe that Pickle Jar can actually create the greatest advancement of human creativity since the Renaissance. I mean, when you give an artist who is having trouble making their rent or a car payment, if they can make $300 standing on a stage in one night, you know, a stage they didn't get paid to be on, that's their car payment. And we've seen that happen over the last several months. And that's endearing. But we're going out for our capital raise, a Series A round. And then additionally, we're hiring. We've got more, as we onboard more artists, as we onboard more venues, we expand to new markets. We just hired a team member out in Florida who's, you know, basically working the entire south part of Florida and venues. We just signed up 10 new venues there. And so we continue to expand into new markets. And yeah, we're hiring.
Awesome. I love that point too, of just, you know, not that I think people regularly forget that artists are people and they have, you know, rent and car payments, et cetera. But I do feel like you go somewhere for an experience and you're kind of like in your head of like, this is, you know, just expected or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's, I feel like you have this app, if you're engaging it on it to find places to go and everything, it brings back this idea that no, this person deserves a tip and your money because you're enjoying their experience and maybe you want to follow up with them and find their next performance too. I just feel like it's bringing that humanity back into that artist fan interaction. It's not just background music anymore. It's part of the experience.
That's just a beautiful way to say it, Natalie, because the sentiment of a $5 tip to an artist blows their mind. I tell every meeting I go into, whether it be with Miller Lite, you know, Coors Light, whoever, I'm in these big rooms, and I tell everybody, hey, before we get started, would you just download the app and find one artist and just send them $5? It's going to take 10 minutes. You can use your Google Pay, Apple Pay. It doesn't matter. Just send them $5. You will change their day, because to them, they don't get that type of appreciation walking around the streets, because nobody knows they're an artist. And then when they get behind the mic, everybody thinks they're making thousands of dollars because they've got control of a mic. And that's not true. You know, I told this to a group of investors a couple of months ago, and it really resonated with them. You know, only 2% of artists, musicians make it in the industry, if you will. There are 58 million artists, musicians in the United States, 258 million if you count the UK, Canada, and part of Europe. So take those numbers, right, and think 2%. Everybody else below that is a starving artist. And more importantly, everybody below that has got multiple people with their fingers in the pie. So you might get paid $500 for a gig one night, but it cost you $100 to get your gear there and pay for gas. Now with gas doubling, right, that's an impact. Then you've got to eat that night. You know, okay, well, there you go. You might end up making $250 on that night if you had to rent gear or pay another person to be on stage with you. So or pay the sound guy. You know, so all of those factors now are a greater impact to the artist. And this does give the fan a way to say, oh, you know what? I'm going to throw him $5 because that song, I love that song. That made me feel good.
I think it's just like changing the way people think about that experience. And I think that Pickle Jar is enabling that change, right? So it's
very to your point, you want to do it. We've just never had a way to do it. I mean, going back to my scenario, I would have given that girl $100 that night in the tip bucket, but I didn't have any cash.
Yeah.
And even though she took Square, it took us 4 months to go back and find out the artist that was playing at that bar that night after we decided to build Pickle Jar, because we had no connective tissue back to that artist that evening.
Yeah, that's a good point too. It's not just solving that tipping problem, but it's creating that long-term relationship between fan and artist. So that's a good reminder too.
And the artist, just to double down on that point, the artist has 100% ownership of their fan base. So they can log in. If they want to take them off the platform and go somewhere else, fine. We have, if we're not good enough, if we haven't done our job, then fine. Don't be a Pickle Jar partner. But you know, we hope to earn that trust and keep that trust for years to come.
Very exciting. Well, I've appreciated your time today and hearing about Pickle Jar. And I think, I hope a lot of people were multitasking while listening and downloading the app and finding the next show in Houston near them to go to. So thanks so much for your time today. It was a pleasure learning all about Pickle Jar and this very real problem you're solving.
Natalie, thanks so much. And thanks to you and Innovation Map for all you guys do for entrepreneurs. It means the world to us. It's just a great program you guys have. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.